Jayagrivadari. Sodanandana Praja Dhanaranjana Jaya Praja Dhanaranjana. Sodanandana Praja Dhanaranjana Jaya Praja Dhanaranjana. Yamuna Tira Bharachari Jaya Kunja Bihari. Yamuna Tira Bharachari Jaya Kunja Bihari. Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari. Kopi Dana Balaba Giri Varadari Jaya Giri Varadari. Gopi Dana Balaba Varadari Jaya Giri Varadari. So da na 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 Dhanaranjana Jaya Praja Dhanaranjana. Sodanandana Praja Dhanaranjana Jaya Praja Dhanaranjana. Yamunatira Varachari Nyaya Kunja Vihari Yamunatira Varachari Jaya Kunja Vihari Arada Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari
Vishnupad, Paramahamsa, Ravidakasharya, Asadhara, Sadushi, Sriman, His Divine Grace, Shalesi, Bhaktivedanta, Swamiraj, Srila Prabhupada, Kijai, Gaur Premanande, all glories to the Assembled Devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhaktivedanta, Swami Tanamane, Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskyatya Desatarne Om Agana Timanandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shigaro Shiyuta Parakamalam Shigaram Vaishnavamscha Shirupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Sabadutam Prajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakans Vitamscha He Krishna Karna Sindo Dhinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshri Prishubhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patidanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shadvaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 8, Dhruva Maharaj Leaves Home, Text Number 57. Swa Ichcha Avatara Charitai Achintya Nija Mayaya Karishati Uttama Loka Tat Dhyayat
Hridayam Gamam Swetchavatara Charitar Achintyanija Maya Karishat Yutamo Karishat Yutama Shokas Tadyayad Dridhyangamam Swetchavatara Charitar Achintya Nija Maya Karishat Yutamam Yutama Shloka Tadyaya Dridayangamam. Shloka Tadyaya Dridayangamam Charitar Charitar Kityanita Maya Tadyaya Dridayangamam Chavatar Charitar Chintyani Jamaya Karishad Yutama Shlokas Tadyaya Dridayangamam. Ladies, Vaitavatar Charitar Chintyani Jamaya Chintya Dhritama Shlokas Tadyaya Dhritayangamam Svechavatara Charitar Achintya Nidamaya Karishat Yutama Shlokas Tadyaya Dhritayangamam. Swaichcha, by his own supreme will. Avatara, incarnation. Charitai, activities. Achintya, inconceivable. Nija Maya, by his own potency. Karishati performs Uttama Shloka, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tat, that. Dhyayat, one should meditate. Hridayam, Gamam, very attractive. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear Dhruva, besides worshipping the deity and chanting the mantra three times a day, you should meditate upon the transcendental activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His different incarnations as exhibited by His supreme will and personal potencies. Please repeat. My dear Dhruva, besides worshipping the deity and chanting the mantra three times a day, you should meditate upon the transcendental activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His different incarnations as exhibited by His supreme will and personal potencies. Purport. Devotional service comprises nine prescribed practices: hearing, chanting, remembering, worshiping, serving, offering everything to the deity, etc. Here Dhruva Maharaj is advised not only to meditate on the form of the Lord, but to think of his transcendental pastimes and his different incarnations. Mayavadi philosophers take the incarnation of the Lord to be in the same category as the ordinary living entity. This is a great mistake. The incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not forced to act by the material laws of nature. The word swetcha is used here to indicate that he appears out of his supreme will. The conditioned soul is forced to accept a particular type of body according to his karma given by the laws of material nature under the direction of the Supreme Lord. But when the Lord appears, he is not forced by the dictation of material nature. He appears as he likes by his own internal potency. That is the difference. The conditioned soul accepts a particular type of body, such as the body of a hog, by his work and by the superior authority of material nature. But when Lord Krishna appears in the incarnation of a boar, he is not the same kind of boar of hog as an ordinary animal. Krishna appears as Varaha avatar in an expansive feature which cannot be compared to ordinary hogs. His appearance and disappearance are inconceivable to us. And the Bhagavad Gita has clearly said that he appears by his own internal potency for the protection of the devotees and the annihilation of the non-devotees. A devotee should always consider that Krishna does not appear as an ordinary human being or an ordinary beast. His appearance as Varaha Murti, or a horse, or a tortoise, is an exhibition of his internal potency. And the Brahma Samhita has said, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Prati Bhavitabhi. One should not mistake the appearance of the Lord as a human being or a beast to be the same as the birth of an ordinary conditioned soul who is forced to appear by the laws of nature, whether as an animal, as a human being, or as a demigod. This kind of thinking is offensive. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has condemned the Mayavadis as offensive to the Supreme Personality of Godhead because of their thinking that the Lord and the conditioned living entities are one and the same. Narada advises Dhruva to meditate on the pastimes of the Lord, which is as good as the meditation of concentrating one's mind on the form of the Lord. As meditation on any form of the Lord is valuable, so is chanting the different names of the Lord, such as Hari, Govinda, and Narayana. But in this age, we are especially advised to chant the Hare Krishna mantra as enunciated in the Shastra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Verse again. Swech chavatara charitar achintya nija maya karishyat yutamashlokas tadhyayad dridayangamam. My dear Dhruva, besides worshipping the deity and chanting the mantra three times a day, you should meditate upon the transcendental activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his different incarnations, as exhibited by his supreme will and personal potencies. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vajnarane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatya Desatarane. This advice given by Narada Muni is very similar to the advice given by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Nectar of Instruction. Tanama Rupachari Tadi Sukirtananu Smrityo Kramena Rasana Manasi Nyoja Tishtan Rajay Tanaragi Jananugami Haladnayam itipadesha saram. Kalamnayat itipadesha saram. That the essence of all advice is that one should utilize one's full time, 24 hours a day, in nicely hearing and chanting about the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities, pastimes. In this way, one should gradually engage the tongue and the mind. One should live in Braj, Goloka Vrindavan, and serve Krishna under the guidance of the Lord's devotees. And one should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees who are deeply attached to his devotional service. In the beginning, it's called Shravana Vasta, which means we have to hear about Krishna. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. They're all progressive. We're not only trying to hear about Krishna, but we have to come to the platform of experiencing Krishna. Of course, Krishna is absolute. So even hearing about Krishna, to some degree, we're experiencing him. To the degree that we're able to hear. But because we can't hear perfectly, due to the fact that our minds are not steady, our senses are not controlled, our intelligence is not purified, therefore, hearing will teach us how to act in such a way as that we'll be able to realize how to hear better. The perfection is to hear perfectly with rapt attention. But in order to hear with rapt attention, no one can hear with rapt attention unless the mind is completely controlled. But no one's mind can be completely controlled unless the senses are controlled. And unless one is engaging all one's senses in the activities of devotional service, then the senses can't be completely controlled. But of course, if we don't believe in God or Krishna, and we don't believe in devotional service, then it's very unlikely we'll be very inspired to engage our senses in devotional service to Krishna, which means to offer activities to Krishna. But we have to believe that there's a Krishna. In the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada mentions, we don't have to accept blindly that there is Krishna, sentimentally, nor should we speculate Krishna away. Blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned, that one should not only hear submissively, but one should get a clear understanding through submission, service, and inquiries. So we have to approach the right person with the right attitude. We have to hear submissively, and we have to try to understand the subject matter with our intelligence. Therefore, it's called Buddha Yoga. Then understanding the subject matter with our intelligence, we have to know how to enthusiastically engage in Krishna's service without deviation. So that's practice. So in the beginning we hear something about the science of Krishna consciousness, and as we understand, that's called varna disa, surrender. We actually engage our senses, we engage our mind, we engage our intelligence, in Krishna's service. And then the result should be Smarana Vasta. That is, we begin to become conscious of Krishna. Consciousness of Krishna means we remember Krishna. Just like the gopis in Vrindavan, it is said in the first paragraph in the 35th chapter of the Krishna book, that the gopis of Vrindavan were so attached to Krishna that they were not satisfied simply with the rasa dance at night. They wanted to associate with him and enjoy his company during the daytime also. When Krishna was not personally present, he was herding the cows in the forest. The gopis were able to remain attached to him or associate with him through strong feelings of separation. So to acquire the strong feeling of separation is the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and his direct disciple succession of Goswamis. When we are not in physical contact with Krishna, we can also associate with him, like the gopis, through strong feelings of separation. Krishna's transcendental form, name, qualities, pastimes are all identical with him. There are 9 different kinds of devotional service, and devotional service to Krishna and feelings of separation elevates the devotee to the highest devotional level, to the level of the gopis. In other words, right now, in conditioned life, we're feeling separation, but generally it's separation from the objects of the senses. Everyone is feeling some kind of separation, but generally they think that if my senses can come in contact with so many different objects, then I'll actually feel satisfied. But actually, when our consciousness comes in contact with Krishna, then we can actually feel satisfied. So we have to gain some taste, some experience of Krishna. That begins just by hearing. At least the hearing should grab our intelligence, our attention, so that it makes sense. Then we may become a little interested, because it's offering us basically 3 things. Everything in modern society, all the advertisements, are also offering 3 things which they never deliver. Namely, knowledge, how to become perpetually happy. So Krishna consciousness offers the same thing, knowledge of how to become perpetually happy by realizing the source of happiness, namely Krishna. And it gives us an ability by practice to somehow or another experience Krishna by placing him into our minds in the proper attitude. So in the beginning, we're not going to be able to understand Krishna perfectly, nor are we sufficiently aware of Krishna sometimes to understand that he is a reality. It may not be so clear. But by the process, one can experience bhakti parashanu vyaktir anyatra trika eka kala prapanamanas yatashnata sus tushti pushti shudapaya nugasam. Just like when one eats a meal, naturally, if it's a good meal, then there's satisfaction, alleviation of hunger, and growing strength. In the same way, if one is factually performing the activities of bhakti correctly, of devotional service, then one should experience Krishna. And at the same time, one should be able to understand how everyone and everything is related to Krishna and become less attached to the objects of the senses or the activities which draw our mind away from Krishna, our material concept of life. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami advises from the very beginning, we should hear regularly. Just as people in the material world are constantly being bombarded with advertisements, propaganda, telling us that we are the body, we evolved from the apes, that after you're dead, you just become at best ashes, or maybe they put you in the grave and people come and cry for some time, make you feel good if you're a ghost. Finally, someone appreciated me. So not a very enlivening and enlightening philosophy being delivered by modern culture and society. But this philosophy at least gives us hope that we're actually spiritual beings. We have a permanent destination which is full of happiness and always enlivening and enlightening. So that hearing begins, and then by hearing we learn to engage these senses, engage our mind in such a way as to gradually become conscious of Krishna. And as mentioned here, the Hare Krishna mantra is the center of our attempts to become conscious of Krishna. Fenceless chanting is the method by which we can become free from all wandered habits, unwanted conceptions. In other words, if we factually, by associating with Krishna, we get a higher taste, then naturally all the lower activities and conceptions will be forgotten. The higher taste can be had just by properly chanting Hare Krishna. So at the beginning, an offensive chanting, then we're, as we've heard before, we're not actually chanting Hare Krishna. There may be something similar to chanting Hare Krishna, but it's not quite the Maha Mantra. Therefore, because we're not chanting the mantra, there's nothing to really listen to. Or if we are listening, we're not going to remember Krishna. As I've said before, generally mundane sounds, when we chant them, then we can remember automatically what they represent. For instance, in the Western world, Mickey Mouse has become very popular. And when people chant Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, then generally we chant these names inoffensively and clearly. We never hear a Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck. Somehow or another, we have enough faith in Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. When we chant this particular sound vibration, it's very clear. And with enthusiasm, generally, born of the original association since our childhood with these perennial figures, due to our faithful absorption since childhood in these name, form, quality, and pastimes of Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck, we chant not only clearly, but with some enthusiasm and some hope for deliverance. So if we can remember a duck and a rat when we chant some names, or a mouse, I don't want to call him a rat, just a mouse. When we chant these names, we can remember the name, form, quality, and pastime. So why not with Krishna? Why should it be that we have more faith in a mouse and a duck than we do in God? So we chant Hare Krishna clearly and then chant to Krishna. Then the result should be that we remember Krishna. This is called nishta. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has explained in the beginning, if we have some faith, sad means the heart, and da means to put. We have enough faith that we're trying to put the consciousness on Krishna. We're trying to put our attention on Krishna. We're trying to learn the means by which our consciousness is on Krishna. So we associate with him, and when we're qualified, when we're learned enough, we can experience directly by hearing and chanting about Krishna. We can directly experience his presence. That is, we become ecstatic and alive and enlightened. So at the beginning, we're trying to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. And then when we factually hear and chant, then we come to the platform of nishta, where the form of Krishna is spontaneously remembered. That form of Krishna is the same, means the form of Krishna as, for instance, the form of the deities. Doesn't mean that suddenly Krishna in his original spiritual form appears within our mind and we're immediately in the Goloka Vrindavan. That means just to remember the form of Krishna, such as the form of the deities, the form of the Krishna as described within the literature, the form of Krishna in the paintings. So these are all bona fide forms of Krishna. One time, I believe it was Parikshit, as told by one other painter, who's a painter who makes all the colorful, Pushkar. Pushkar was describing in his interview that Parikshit, he showed Srila Prabhupada so many different paintings that the BBT was producing. And he asked Srila Prabhupada, which painting looks the most like Lord Krishna? And Prabhupada said, they all look like Krishna. So Parikshit, next day, he brought some drawings made by the Gurukul students. Stick figures. You know, type of drawing that many of us would draw. You know, Krishna, here's his body and two legs and two arms and a flute, a peacock. So Parikshit said, which one looks the most like Krishna? And Prabhupada said, they all look like Krishna. There's his flute. There's his peacock feather. So one who's in love with Krishna, he sees Krishna in all his bona fide forms. So this is actually to associate with Krishna. At the state of Nishta, we chant Hare Krishna, and Krishna's form, some form of Krishna, will spontaneously appear within our minds. Then, as we become practiced in remembering Krishna by offenselessly chanting, then after a while we'll be able to feel Krishna's presence and remember that he has qualities. This is at the stage of ruchi, because Krishna's qualities are all the nature of taste, of pleasure. Similarly, progressively one will go on to remember Krishna's activities at the stage of asakti. It is not that they come by force of our mental endeavor, we break our way into the spiritual world by our determination. It comes through surrender and through learning how to offenselessly chant. That offenseless chanting is in the mood of attention and love. The art of Krishna consciousness is the art of focusing one's attention and giving one's love to Krishna. The more our activities are dedicated to Krishna, then the more our mind will be focused on Krishna. The more the mind is focused on Krishna, the more we become purified, the more we'll be able to experience the subtle qualities of Krishna, because they're most subtle. They cannot be experienced simply by some gross endeavor. They have to be experienced by making our activities more and more surrendered to Krishna, our consciousness more and more focused on Krishna, so we become purified, and therefore we can experience the subtlety of Krishna's existence. Subtlety doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It just means that there's no more material static. Everything becomes clear and obvious. The coverings of our mind, which block our experience of Krishna, are gradually removed. And everything is revealed, just like the sun lights up everything in the daytime. Then, after sakti comes bhava, one's own natural feelings towards Krishna will be awakened. Then one will understand one's relationship to Krishna. Presently, our relationship with Krishna is that we're trying to compete with Krishna, and therefore, if we want to purify our present relationship, we have to cooperate with Krishna. We have to become a servant. The material world means the perverted reflection of dasa rasa. So here, gopi bharta pada kamalayor, dasa dasa anudasa. Developing the service attitude means to develop Krishna consciousness. We don't have to artificially pretend or imagine that we have some particular relation with Krishna. What we have to think is what Krishna wants me to do with my body, what he wants me to do with my mind, what he wants me to do with my words. And when we do that progressively more and more, then Krishna reveals himself progressively more and more, and we become conscious of Krishna. That means to follow Krishna's desires through the disciple succession. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made it very clear. He repeated the same thing that he said 5,000 years ago, when he said, Ya idam paramam guyam mad bhakteshva badashati bhakti mayi puram kritva mame vaishatya samshayaha. Therefore, Arjuna, you should preach Krishna consciousness. For one who preaches this message, the devotees, devotional service is guaranteed. So that was the service Krishna wanted us to do. Chan Hare Krishna, Yari Deka, Tari Kaha, Krishna Upadesh, Amara Agai Guruhana Tare Desh. Whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna. So this chanting Hare Krishna, this hearing about Krishna, means that we ultimately have to come to the conclusion of spreading the Sankirtan movement. The more we absorbed in that service, then the more we'll be able to chant Hare Krishna without offense, and the more Krishna will reveal himself to us. It is not that we have one activity called chanting Hare Krishna, and there is another activity called spreading the Sankirtan movement, or we have our sadhana, and it's something apart from our preaching. It all fits together completely. The more we become serious, somehow or another, trying to become conscious of Krishna and spread Krishna's glories, then the more we'll become, by the mercy of Krishna, conscious of him. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
They become bewildered about how to spread the glories of Krishna consciousness. And they think that by making some external changes, like growing hair, dressing in, you know, Western clothes, these different external changes, that will make us more successful. Could you please comment?
Well, I don't. Whatever we do externally, of course, the things that will make us advance in Krishna consciousness are cleanliness, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Amani Dvam, Adam Vidvam, Ahimsa Shanti Arjavam, Acharya Pasanam Socham, Stiryam Atman Vinigraha. Since we need knowledge, and he says the process of knowledge is cleanliness, humility, for instance, humility, Amadi Dvam, Adam Vidvam, freedom, pridelessness, Amadi Vama Dhamma, Ahimsa, nonviolence. So these things are actually essential to become Krishna conscious. We have to come to the platform of knowledge and purity. So there may be different opinions, how to dress and this and that, but that's all right. That's not the essential thing. There may be reasons to dress one way according to time, place, and circumstance. But in any case, the humility, pridelessness, cleanliness, following the orders of the spiritual master. These are the actual processes by which our Krishna consciousness movement will actually be advanced, because we have to become pure. The more we become pure, the more we become aware of Krishna, the more we become an instrument for Krishna, then the more Krishna will be able to spread Krishna consciousness. We ourselves, we're not the deliverers, as we're not the controllers, as we're not the enjoyers, nor are we the deliverers. Krishna is the friend, Krishna is the controller, and Krishna is the enjoyer. So we have to become an instrument, and then Krishna will give us all the intelligence necessary, all the potency necessary to distribute Krishna consciousness to others. Yes?
Maharaj, that story you related from Pushkar about Prabhupada saying that they all look like Krishna, but I have to admit, they don't all look like Krishna to me. For instance, the latest single-volume Krishna book from the European BBT, very nice book, but the paintings look like Doonesbury cartoons to me. I just can't get over that. They don't remind me of Krishna. So I think in a practical way, we have to be careful when we produce these books that the paintings actually do look more like, you know, at least the ones that we've accepted in the past as being very nice paintings of Krishna, not that just any kind of old representation of Krishna works. At least they don't work for me. I have to speak for myself.
No, we're not. I wasn't trying to advertise that the BBT should put in the Gurukul pictures into the books. But on the other hand, we find that sometimes the painter has got into a very, I guess, romantic, from the age of romance. What's that? Whatever it is. They made Krishna in it too much of a sophisticated way. And that was also sometimes distracting from those who are not so Krishna conscious. On the other hand, the original paintings from the early painters, although not so expert in their qualities, they had a lot of bhakti to them. And therefore, those paintings attracted people. When you would open up the book and show them the paintings, just because of the bhakti that was in them, people became attracted to Krishna. Although later on, some of the artists became much more expert, but some of the feeling sometimes may have disappeared. So that's a judgmental. But for one who's Krishna conscious, everything reminds one of Krishna. But we don't expect when we're selling books to people on the street that they're all fully Krishna conscious, and that everything will remind them of Krishna. Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.